Oh, boy, there's my music. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I am very happy to be back with you live after a little break, which had to do with PRN, some technical problems. But here I am live with a wonderful guest. I interviewed her last October, but that was before her book came out. It's already a best-selling book, The Hormone Secret, Discover Effortless Weight Loss and Renewed Energy in Just 30 Days, Dr. Tammy Miragula, MD. She's an MD. Hello, Tammy. It's so nice, Dr. Tammy. It's so very nice to have you on the program.
Oh, hi. It's so great to be here. Nice to be here with you. How are you doing?
Good. And I know that's a question you ask most of your patients with real sincerity. How are you? And you help so many women. You're forward in this great book of yours, written by Dr. Amen. Am I pronouncing his name right?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Amen, Daniel Amen.
Yeah. Amen,
yeah.
Most
people know him from PBS.
Yes, and he says that you are a physician with a passion to help women take charge of their own hormone health and happiness. Now, I want to encourage any men who are listening to continue to listen, because if you understand your woman and her health, you're going to be way ahead of the game in terms of love and lust and even maybe some laughter. Right? I mean, men need to understand their women.
Absolutely. And, you know, the things that The Hormone Secret are about really apply to men as well for much of it. It was a marketing decision to gear it towards women. Women are usually the ones that are reaching out for help with regard to their health first. But,
yeah,
you know, lots of men are suffering from adrenal fatigue and all kinds of things. So.
Right. And you point out that testosterone is the magic word here when we talk about hormone health. And, of course, we know that men have lots more testosterone than women, but a lot of the advice you give in your book applies to men too. And you say that more than 90% of women over the age of 45 suffer from low testosterone levels. That's 90%. That's really amazing.
It is, and I think that most people think of testosterone for women as something that just is libido and it's not really needed, but it is the secret weapon to aging fabulously. It affects your hair, your weight, your muscle, your mood, your bones, your intelligence, your confidence, how you look at each day. It is truly, we don't need a lot, it's just a tiny bit, but it has an outsized role in how we look, feel, and function.
Yes, and, you know, I can give my own testimonial here, because I have been on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy since the onset of my menopause at about 55 years of age, and it has been quite wonderful, and I have, it also, my BHRT also contains bioidentical estrogen and progesterone. And so it turns out that I'm quite a balanced senior woman, healthy with lots of energy, and I have an amazing sex drive, which pleases my fiancé, Brian, a lot. And me too, for that matter.
Yes, yes, and you too, absolutely.
Yeah,
so. Well, I think that what happens in traditional medicine, and remember that's the way I was trained, was as a traditional MD, is that we think of things in a problem sense rather than a holistic sense. So when women start having quote-unquote hormone issues, they're waiting for women to come and say, I have hot flashes and night sweats, and then they replace estrogen and progesterone. But really, our hormones are very much like a symphony, and they all work together, and you're not going to get the best results when you pick and choose.
Yeah, so when people come to your offices, and by the way, listeners, I've been to Dr. Tammy's offices They're beautiful, and she and her staff project vitality, and that gives you a really good feeling when you walk in, for sure. And
well, one of the nice things that happened.
I'm going to repeat this again, but you're going to get a real sense of Dr. Tammy by going to her website, drtammy.com. So drtammy.com. So what were you going to say about your offices and your staff? Because I know your mm-hmm. staff is really valuable to you.
They are. And since the success of the book, we've actually expanded and we have a virtual medical clinic. So we now see patients from all over the United States with Skype appointments. Isn't it great to be part of the 21st century? So it's an amazing opportunity for people who are just frustrated that their traditional medical doctors have sort of brushed them off or given them a prescription for an antidepressant or a sleeping pill or both, or told them they're fine when they really know that they're not their best self. Yeah, they're not sick, and they might be considered fine, but who wants to be fine?
And you want to be fabulous, as you say.
Yes,
I love what you say in your introduction. You tell your patients normal is a setting on a dryer, not an accurate description of your state of health.
Right, and fine is a four-letter word, so let's not go there. So we can see patients all over, and there's also a free quiz on drtammy.com that people can take, and more importantly, after the quiz, it will give you whether or not you have deficiencies in your adrenals, your thyroid, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, or all of the above. Not everybody gets all of them, but don't be surprised. I do have many patients who get all of them. And then you get a free handbook emailed to you, which goes over the nutritional and the supplemental and lifestyle ways that you can get your own body to boost those hormones. So mm-hmm. it's a nice way of getting a taste of what's out there naturally.
You're very holistic in your approach, and that's important. You are double board certified in integrative and natural medicine and aesthetic medicine as well. And you're this medical director of this great Vitality Medical Clinic in Seattle, Washington. And then you have some products on your website, too. And I read on your book cover that you are on the advisory board of Douglas Labs, one of the largest medical-grade nutrichemical companies in the United States, where you contribute research and education. Tell us a little bit more about Douglas Labs, because you told me off the air that some of your medical education was hijacked by the big pharma.
Yes, I was explaining that. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but the longer I practice medicine, the more I realize that my traditional training was really focused on diseases and conditions, nothing mm-hmm. to do with prevention or wellness. Mm-hmm. And the solutions were pharmaceutical drugs and or surgery. And we really didn't get any education to speak of on nutrition, lifestyle, or none on what we now call nutraceuticals, which are using vitamins, herbs, and, you know, Ayurvedic medicines as or in place of pharmaceutical medication. And we didn't learn that. We did not learn that at all. You know, I did not learn that 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids can actually change your cholesterol level. Mm. I just learned about statin drugs.
Just
and
statin drugs.
And there's good clinical trials that are double-blind, placebo-controlled, that show that there are these natural ways. But, you know, I didn't learn those. I had to go back to school, do a fellowship, and learn all of this natural medicine. But Douglas Labs I love because there's a lot of good companies, and we have an array of good companies that are pharmaceutical-grade. And what does that mean? Well, there are two or three studies done just this year on vitamins. And what they did is they took vitamins off the shelves of all of the big companies, you know, Costco and Target and GNC and Super Supplements and all these ones, and they tested them. And they did two different types of testing. One was, what's in this? And so that was a DNA test.
Yeah.
And the results were shocking. Oh, my gosh, Diana. They're ground-up houseplants.
Oh, dear.
Right?
Who thought to do these studies? I mean, that's really impressive because,
well,
go ahead.
They're not the pharmaceutical companies or the vitamin companies.
Of course
not. So let me tell you. Then the other study was a study based on, is what's on the label in the pill? And so that was a dosage study. Basically, you know, take vitamin D. It says that it's 2,000 international units on the label. When you test the pill, is there 2,000 international units? Turns out there's anywhere from 4 to 104% difference.
Oh, my goodness.
The problem is that our supplements are not governed at all. There's no, they're not regulated by the FDA. They're not governed by anybody. We're just hoping and praying that these pharmaceutical, these nutritional companies, these vitamin companies will do the right thing and do what they say and say what they do and not cut corners for profit's sake. We're not checking on them. We're just trusting them. So
you're on the advisory board for Douglas, and I see that under the products that you have on your website, drtammy.com, that you have a number of their products, and you obviously trust them.
Yes, there are a handful of companies, maybe, you know, more than a handful. There are a few select companies that make vitamins that have decided, you know what, we're going to hold ourselves to the same standard as a prescription drug. And they are third-party tested. A third-party comes in at a random time and tests for purity and content and all of those things. But Douglas goes a step further. Douglas is so clean that they absolutely verify that Olympic athletes can take their vitamins without fear of having any banned substances show up.
Wow.
And they're the only company that
that's
has
impressive.
A clean program, yes.
Yeah.
And so some of the supplements are from Douglas. I actually worked with Douglas to create my private label supplements and gathered many things together into daily packets to make things easier for my testosterone boost and my adrenal boost and my essential female boost, which is basically if you have all of the hormone deficiencies,
then
this one will cover you. Because we can reboot our biology. You know, we can get our adrenal glands to produce more of what we need if we give it the right ingredients.
And your book is so thorough, giving your readers instructions on how to do this step by step, all the non-prescription ways that women can boost their biology. But I have a question. Is there an age that's too late to start bioidentical hormone replacement therapy for women who feel like they need something more? Is it too late to start BRHT?
You know,
I mean, I'm glad I started at 55, and I've been on it ever since, but what about that?
You mean, is it too late?
What's the age? What's the age that might be too late for women to start this if they're well past menopause?
You know, my 90-something-year-old patients seem to be pretty happy.
Wow. Okay, that's a good answer.
Yeah, and my 80-something-year-old patients are playing tennis, not watching tennis.
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
so,
that's...
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think there's any time to give up and say, ah, this is as good as it can get.
Yes, yes. You know, I've sent you some of my patients, clients, I call them usually, but... And they've been so happy by your advice and your care. And,
Well, and you do such a wonderful, wonderful thing. I always explain to my patients mm-hmm. who are female, and we talk about libido.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, there's two parts to libido. There's the mm-hmm. chemical part, and if you have a Ferrari with no gas, you're not going anywhere.
That's right.
So we have to have the chemicals, and I can help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, you know, there's also a whole other area here where your energy level, whether you're making time, intimacy, what your brain thinks of this, what you
mm-hmm.
keep, you know, there's so much above the shoulders that affects
yeah.
a woman's libido, and that's your superpower.
Well, that's what I really like to do, and I was at, before I came to Seattle almost 7 years ago, I was at UCLA's Female Sexual Medicine Center, and I witnessed many sexual transformations, especially as a result of testosterone replacement, so I've been on that bandwagon for quite a while, but I remember one of my clients, a 55-year-old college professor, she'd lost her ability to become aroused after her hysterectomy, and she said, "This is a huge piece of who I am, and it's just gone." And I'm sure you hear that from your a similar kind of lament from your patients.
Yeah, the hysterectomy is an instantaneous surgical menopause, and it literally
mm-hmm.
feels for many women like they've been hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
it is. That's sort of more of an urgent thing because there is no time to ramp up. Things happen suddenly, and your body just can't get over it. You have to heal it.
And so there's an immediate decline of estrogen, isn't there, after hysterectomy?
Yeah, it's very complicated. It depends on whether the ovaries are left or taken.
I see.
And, it depends on the age, because sometimes it doesn't matter if you remove the ovaries, depending on the age.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is even if you do leave the ovaries in a hysterectomy, studies have now confirmed that you go into menopause faster.
Mm.
It's almost like the ovaries say, "Well, there's no uterus, so why bother?"
Oh, yes. Oh, okay, so let's back up a little bit, Dr. Tammy, and let's explain to the listeners, and you outline this very well in your book, what about the hormone decline? What happens, and why has it been accelerated in recent times?
I think that's the biggest sort of take home, is that a lot of women don't realize that how they're feeling is due to the decline, because there's been a change. There's been a change in the last 10 to 15 years in how quickly and how early hormones are becoming disrupted and deficient. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that is due to that is after the age of 30 or 35, there's a shift from the ovaries being the sort of production site for estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, to the adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands, they're tiny little walnut-sized glands that sit on top of your kidneys, and their primary job is to deal with stress, that fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they really don't realize that the traffic jam, you know, I live in West Seattle and my clinic is in Queen Anne, that hour that it takes
mm-hmm.
me in the morning,
mm-hmm.
my adrenal glands don't realize that that's not a true stress.
Mm-hmm.
They respond as if it's a true stress, like I'm being chased by a bear. But then I get to the clinic and, you know, there are patients there waiting and already 115 emails and, you know,
mm-hmm.
refill requests and staff need support. There's just on and on and on and on and on, and I'm not alone. This is very, very typical. We have an all-day 24/7 urgency to our lives. And then lunchtime, many people don't even take time to stop. They work as they're either doing their work and eating their lunch or doing Facebook, and they're not really outside in the fresh air eating food and stopping and really digesting and absorbing it. And then the afternoon again, and then back into the car. And when we get home after we finish our evening, we quote unquote relax by either sitting in front of the TV or our iPad or something. And we think of that as relaxing, but it's not. It's just the lack of more stress. And what we really need to do in order for these poor little adrenal glands to have the opportunity to produce the hormones that bless you is we need to turn off the what they're doing is dealing with stressing you. So there's stress, there's the lack of stress, and then there's turning on the relaxation response. And that's the biggest thing that we're missing in our 24/7 lifestyle and why we are having our hormones decline sooner and quicker than ever before. It's this 24/7 lifestyle that is just churning up all the raw ingredients, energy, and time. And these poor adrenal glands, you know, when they get to the end of the day and progesterone is supposed to be produced in order to have a good night's sleep so you don't wake up between 2 and 4 in the morning with your eyes wide awake, you know, they say, yeah, right. I'm exhausted. I've been running from a bear all day.
You write in your excellent book, the Stress, the Hormone Secret, you say that the number one culprit above all the rest is stress. Stress is like a little Pac-Man running through your bloodstream, eating all your hormones. Stress and the inflammation it creates depletes our hormones, encourages development of diseases, including cancer. So when you're on, as you say, 24/7, this is not good for our bodies. And you say that even our play is not restorative. And, of course, when I think of play, I'm always telling my clients, sex is play. Sex should be playful. Sex should be fun. Sex should result in orgasm or orgasms and floating in oxytocin and dopamine and all these things that can lower the cortisol and all of that.
Oh, especially oxytocin. Yes.
Especially the oxytocin, right.
That's like a little sponge that just mops up a lot of the inflammation.
Yes, and that's why sex is so good for your health. A little sidebar here. The Minister of Health in Brazil, where they have a hypertension problem, it's huge in the country, he recommended that couples in Brazil have sex 5 times a week to lower their high blood pressure, right?
They're going to have to let everybody off work early.
I know it. But I thought that was quite remarkable. But we know how good sexual relations are for one's health. And of course, that's a message that I attempt to get out here with my program a lot.
And, you know, I think that the first thing, you know, most of my patients, my female patients, they do say that their libido is low, but that's not the first thing that they're coming to me saying. Really what it is usually is that they're tired and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it doesn't even matter if you have optimal levels of testosterone, though that would be pretty unusual. If you're tired, then you're not interested in sex. You just can't be. So getting your health back and getting your vitality back is really important.
It is, because so many women say, I want to want, but they know that their partners are not very happy with no sex. So it's a lot of what I do in my work is helping this mismatched desire sort of get back on track. And you know, the male partners can massage her feet, her hands, her body, help her relax, slow down. All of these things can help, along with, because I'm all in favor of a mind-body approach, especially to female sexuality, because if a woman doesn't like her partner nothing will help. None of these things that you prescribe or I prescribe will help. But if she likes her partner, then she's much more likely to be responsive, and they can get back on track, especially with the right body interventions as well as the mind interventions.
Absolutely. And there are some really simple things that you can start. You know, my book, The Hormone Secret, was designed to give people the opportunity to be the CEO of their own health and mm-hmm. have sort of a guide. But, you know, there are such simple things like vitamin D. That's so huge to your adrenal glands and its ability to produce the hormones that bless your life. And vitamin D is actually not a vitamin. It's actually a hormone.
I did not know that till I read it in your book. That's fascinating.
Yeah. It's a pro-hormone, technically, which it mm-hmm. unlocks so many enzymatic reactions in your body. And it's just so far-reaching. And mm-hmm. we in Seattle are very, very deficient in vitamin D. And people say, oh, well, it's summer and we've had such a lovely summer. But if you work, you are not in the sun.
Yeah.
You're probably
getting
a lot less than you think.
So you say if you live in a latitude of 35 degrees, as we do here in Seattle, you're not making enough vitamin D from October to April. And so you'll need a supplement.
No, you just have to supplement. Yeah, absolutely.
When I moved here almost 7 years ago, the first thing I did, because somehow I knew this, is I went and bought some really good quality vitamin D. And then since then, I've had in my blood tests, I've had it checked, the vitamin D levels checked.
And it's so important that you mm-hmm. would think that your doctor is going to test for that, but they're not. You have to ask.
You have to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the optimal level that you should be shooting for is between 50 and 100. If your level is 30, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
That means that it's good enough to not get a disease associated mm-hmm. with a vitamin D deficiency, but that has nothing to do with optimal levels.
And you say that vitamin D deficiency has been linked to multiple cancers? Depression and possibly even to multiple sclerosis, MS. That's
pretty serious. Study that was done here in Seattle, actually, mm-hmm. Linking the vitamin D and the MS. And, you know, we don't know definitively, but we do know it's involved because it's mm-hmm. always in these latitudes. MS is virtually unheard of at the equator.
That's interesting. Wow, I did not know that.
Or close to the equator.
Yeah.
It is interesting. And so many cancers, prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, and funny enough, skin cancer. We have a thinning ozone and holes in our ozone, so we put on sunscreen so that we don't get a sunburn and get skin cancer. But then we don't get our vitamin D from the sun. So it's a catch-22. So you just have to get your vitamin D now from a pill, even though usually I'm the person that says, let's go back to Mother Nature for restoration. Go to your food, go to nature. But there's a big hole in our ozone, and it's thinned so that too many bad UV radiation rays are hitting us and damaging our DNA.
Mm-hmm. So can you briefly, just because there's so much I want to ask you about and cover in this, so can you briefly describe your 30-day plan that you give to many of your patients, and then we'll go on to talk about the orchestra players, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and the other players for the rest of the show. So, but can you please, Dr. Tammy, talk about your 30-day plan?
Absolutely. And I think that what it starts off with is something that's not super fun, but people, you know, at some point in time, we have to realize that if you want a different outcome, you have to try something different. To do the same thing.
Exactly.
And expect a different outcome is insanity.
A long definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm. So the liver is where we start. the liver is involved in activating your hormones and getting rid of old hormones that are clogging things up, getting your toxins out. It's so important. You won't have an active thyroid circling through your body if you don't get it converted in your liver. 95% go through the liver and some in the renal system and the kidney system, but if your liver is all clogged up, you do not have any chance of having optimal levels of hormones. So we think of our liver as working perfectly because we go to the doctor and we're told we're fine and there's no symptoms. But people would be surprised that they have a lot of symptoms of a congested liver. They just didn't know that that meant it was their liver. The other thing is we'd never expect our car filter to last 40 or 50 years.
We would always change it.
So we need to clean out our liver. There's been more than 20,000 new chemicals introduced into our food and our environment since the Second World War, and our liver has
Isn't
to deal with
shocking?
All of them.
That is, you say that in your book, and I was just amazed. So, we've got to clean all these toxins that we're getting in the modern world.
Yeah, and then the problem is that, the liver is miraculous. It has two phases through its detoxification program that it runs, phase one and phase two. And you have to have both. And there are a lot of liver cleanses on the market, and I was so excited that I didn't have to do a liver cleanse. I didn't have to make one. I didn't have to do anything. Well, of course, I trust but verify. And so I looked into many of these that are on the market, and they were fantastic for taking you through phase one. Phase one takes things apart, takes the toxins and takes them apart. The problem is that much of the time, those metabolites that have been created by that process are more dangerous and more toxic. That's why we have phase two. But in phase two, our body puts it back together in a process called conjugation, but it needs some specific ingredients, some specific molecules in order to do that so that it becomes less toxic again and can be removed from the body more easily, usually by making it more water soluble, because toxins usually love our fat. They hang out in our brains because our brains are mostly fat. In our bodies, they love fat. So a lot
Dr.
of
Dr. Tammy, let me just ask a question here. I have read that women who are overweight, maybe even obese, are more likely to get breast cancer. And is that because of the fat and the estrogen? And what are the connections there? Or am I misstating it?
Nope, but it's not due to the toxins, though that may play a part. That used to be thought of as, just fat. But it's actually a living organ that produces hormones. And it does it by converting your estrogens, even your testosterone and other things, into an estrogen called estrone.
Estrone.
And the more fat you have, the more conversion to estrone and the higher levels of estrone. And estrone is the cancer-causing estrogen.
Okay.
This is life-saving information.
My goodness.
Yeah, just by losing 10 or 15 pounds, you can lower your risk of breast cancer.
10 or 15 pounds only. And we're going to talk about testosterone because this is the magical hormone, and I just love testosterone.
It's my favorite.
But in terms of helping you stay slimmer, but just 10 or 15 pounds can make a difference.
Yep. And some people I have 50.
What's that?
Some people give up because, especially women, women are so all or nothing, especially when it comes to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, I blew it today. I had, you know, a bite of a brownie. So the rest of the entire day has terrible nutrition. Well, you know, that doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of what I call the 80-20 rule.
Right.
The 80-20 is 80% of what goes into your body should bless your life and feed your cells. And 20% can feed your satisfaction. So you never have to really worry about this 20% that you did. And so lots of women say, oh, you know, I have to lose 60 pounds or 50 pounds. That's okay. Just start. Just a few pounds. Because if you're moving in one direction, even 1 pound a day, my goodness, or 1 pound a week, that's such a great thing for your body. If you think about it in terms of your body being an airplane and you're the pilot, what happens if you have your navigation changed 1 degree? You'll be in a different country.
Yeah, you know,
it's huge.
When I talk to my clients, my patients who are overweight, we'll talk about using food as a drug to hide from feelings, to anesthetize, to escape. And
yeah,
they'll admit it, that they're using food as a drug. And then we sometimes explore some of the core beliefs. And they'll often say, I'm damaged. I don't deserve this. Love is not for me. This will never work out. So they keep on punishing themselves with food. And
well, you know, the problem
yeah.
is that food overeating is not a problem. It's the solution to a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So until you find a different solution,
yeah,
it's hard to give it up, because you're going to have to white knuckle it or hold your breath, because there's nothing to replace that solution, whether
mm-hmm.
you eat because you're lonely or anxious or bored, or, you know, there's lots and lots of different problems that food is the solution for. But that's where the real work is. That's where you need. And I'm actually just so excited. I'm just starting a new project. It's a weight loss program where mm-hmm. I'm doing all of the hormone and nutrition balancing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working with somebody who does the brain training, the biurnal brain beats,
mm-hmm.
and because we find that people have a set point of, just like you're saying, I deserve to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve this to be this weight. I deserve this amount of money. I deserve this amount of health. I deserve this amount of love. And we really need to change our set point. We have to increase our having level in order to make these changes last.
I absolutely agree, and I have discovered that in working with my own clients, that the bottom line, whether you weigh 340 or 150 pounds, it's that when you eat, when you're not hungry, in fact, you're using food as a drug and grappling maybe with boredom or illness or loss or grief or emptiness or loneliness or rejection. And
mm-hmm.
so food becomes only the middleman, the means to an end, and that's what you're talking about as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. This, you know, the mind-body approach to all of these things is pretty important. And you do, I mean, you are holistic. You do the mind part with your patients, and you spend time with them. And, you know, I work quite a lot with a naturopath out on the east side in Kirkland, Dr. Serena McKinsey, and she's told me, because she specializes in sexual medicine, she's told me, I'm so glad you're willing to hear these stories. Because she doesn't have the time, and I find my work very satisfying, and when you're a busy MD or an ND, you don't always have the time, although you make more time than most doctors do. And haven't you heard from your patients, just to segue a little bit, that
they'll go to their internist, for example, and they'll run the tests, and the doctor will say, well, you know, what do you expect at your age? To have a libido? You alluded to this before. Well, you're fine. You're within the normal range. And they're dismissive and they minimize it. And that is not, or they give the woman, an antidepressant or a sleeping medication, and that makes everything worse. I'm sure you have to deal with
it. A lot of the symptoms, if you answer a questionnaire, for depression and you answer a questionnaire about a hormone imbalance, oftentimes the answers are the same. And wouldn't you rather start with balancing your hormones rather than a pharmaceutical drug with a host of side effects? Now, I'm not against antidepressants. They save some people's lives.
Yeah, they
but
do.
I think they're given as the first option
right. Without
really digging deeper and finding out if there is a different option to have it happen first. And when antidepressants came on the market, the goal was to have people to use them for the shortest amount of time possible and then to try and wean people off, you know.
Prozac mm-hmm. came on the market about 20 years ago.
And now, you know, they're trying to give it to kids.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, really.
Well, there was a movie called Bought, that B-O-U-G-H-T, mm-hmm. you can still find it online, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's some controversial things that they talk about, and I was blessed to be part of it, and my portion, I was involved in sharing that the pharmaceutical company that made the medication, Paxil, is an antidepressant, and Glasgow is... They had some studies done, really good studies, at universities, and the results came back and showed that it actually increased suicide when kids took this.
Oh, my goodness.
And, oh, no, you just wait. So they decided to label those kids non-compliant and took them out of the study.
This is shocking.
So... They then were able to get the approval and marketed it as a safe and effective treatment for mood disorder in children. Years later, a whistleblower found this out, and the state of New York sued this pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they sued them is because the state of New York had to pay for many of these prescriptions for kids.
Mm.
So they sued the company. For false claims and for altering mm-hmm. data they won
mm-hmm.
because the pharmaceutical company had done wrong, and the pharmaceutical company just wrote it off as the cost of doing business because it was a fraction of what they had made in profits by being able to market to adults and children, and it is still on the market.
Oh, yeah, we... No wonder your medical education was hijacked by Big Pharma. They have so much power, and they have so much money. And
I think
that's shocking, Dr. Tammy. That's shocking.
I know. And this isn't hearsay. This isn't any. This is, you can look it up. The state of New York had a lawsuit. It is
mm-hmm.
just data, and it's not all like that. But the problem is that this. Studies are being done by the people who profit from it being cleared by the FDA. So it's a murky, murky situation.
It's a murky,
That's why I try to use Mother Nature first. And, you know, if we have to resort to using pharmaceutical drugs, then great. We know we've
mm-hmm.
exhausted other possibilities, and we're using them judiciously.
Yes. So I want to, in the time that we have left, which is about another 7 minutes, actually, one of the things, and I told you this off the air when we were doing our pre-interview, I had not read, and I read a lot, that getting pregnant has to do with progesterone. And you write that progesterone plays a role in embryo implantation. People think miscarriages and an inability to conceive are very mysterious and complicated. And you have written, and you know that miscarriages are usually caused by progesterone deficiency. Can you talk a little more about that?
Well, the most common cause of miscarriage is thought to be a chromosomal abnormality, that this embryo is just not viable. But way up there at the top of, you know, the list is definitely progesterone deficiency. And the name of the hormone, progesterone, when I say this, you're going to go, oh, it's progestation.
Oh, my goodness.
Progesterone.
Okay, yeah. But why isn't this more widely known?
It's starting to be more and more. The fertility clinics are now giving women progesterone when they are at the beginning stages and they're testing it, especially at the beginning, because the placenta starts to produce its own progesterone, but that's not until, you know, after the first trimester is almost over. Mm-hmm. So you need that. A lot of women need that support in order to hang on to their pregnancy. It's also the peaceful hormone. It's called the Valium that bathes the female mind. So it's a wonderful. I tell my patients, if you tell me you're waking up between 2 and 4 in the morning with your mind wide awake, like you've never ever been asleep, you probably have a progesterone deficiency.
Yeah, because it calms the female brain.
It directly stimulates the GABA receptors, which are the same receptors as alcohol and Valium and opiates stimulate.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of women, progesterone leaves us first often, and that's why a lot of women have new or worsening anxiety when they hit perimenopause.
Ah, yes. Because their sleep is interrupted because of what's happening in their bodies, and maybe it is a progesterone deficiency.
And they lost their natural anti-anxiety hormone.
Right, anti-anxiety hormone. Yeah. All right, and I have a question. I wonder what you think is the connection between orgasms and estrogen and testosterone. I read in a book that I like quite a lot, Gail Sheehy's book, published almost 10 years ago, Sex and the Seasoned Woman, and she quotes Dr. Helen Fisher, somebody that I admire a lot, and Dr. Fisher was having a wonderful new affair with a man who was very attentive, and she put herself, as Dr. Fisher had done a lot of the functional MRIs, brain scanning, and she was off the charts. She put herself through. So she decided to experiment with cutting her low-dose estrogen budget in half, and in this case she was using Vival and a transdermal patch. And so then she cut it down even more, and she was dismayed to notice that she couldn't reach orgasm with her new lover or on her own. And then she said, well, it's the estrogen that governs the actual sexual response. And what do you think about that?
I go back to the symphony. It's not just one thing. We think of testosterone as being the libido thing, but if you only have testosterone and you have no estrogen, the estrogen is what helps lubricate and keep the vaginal tissue from tearing and being uncomfortable and painful during sex. So that's not going to be, nobody's going to be able to have a good time if that's happening. So estrogen is very important for that. We also know DHEA is really important for women's sexual function. So I think it's a lot of the above, but the big three players seem to be estrogen, testosterone, and DHEA with regard to sexual function.
Right. Yes. So, you know, you're with this wonderful book. I encourage listeners to go to your website. They can buy the book on your website, drtammy.com, and they can also get it in bookstores. And then
you've got a special deal,
don't you? Where?
Just
talk about that, and we need to stop in a couple of minutes, but talk about the promotional thing you have, because I think it's really fabulous.
So if you buy a book on Amazon or in a store, just send us a copy of your receipt. Take a picture of it with your phone or scan it and email it. Email it to bookbonus@drtammy.com. That's bookbonus@drtammy.com. And we'll give you a whole bunch of bonuses. You're going to get a recipe book that's a hormone healthy, wonderful food that have been kid tested and husband tested.
Husband tested too. Good.
Yes. A smoothie and juicing recipe book. Brett Hobell is a dear friend of mine, and he's one of the celebrity trainers on The Biggest Loser. His 20-minute body workout you're going to get. Kathy Smith. You remember Kathy Smith from?
I do, you know, from years ago.
Yes. So she has a wonderful menopause workout. So that's
part
of it. And then a coupon, a meditation, and a coupon for 15% off of anything on my online store.
That's what a deal. That's great. That is just great. You are making such a difference in so many lives, especially women's lives, and you'll continue to do so. And people can get so much information in your book. They can do it on their own. They don't have to see you, although you're doing the Skype virtual sessions, which I think is great. And, but they can follow your instructions in the book, The Hormone Secret.
Share a lot of stuff as well on Facebook. It's Dr. Tammy Facebook, Ask Dr. Tammy. And the whole purpose is to bless people's lives. There's no promotions, there's no sales, there's no gimmicks, just recipes and information about hormones and vitamins. And we just are here to bless people's lives.
And
you know, I have a successful clinic. I'm so lucky. I just want to get this out there.
Well, you have blessed my life, and I think many of our listeners' lives, just by being the guest, and I'm hearing the music, so that means we need to stop. I hope that down the line we can have you back for a part two.
Oh, I would love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Tammy. You've been an illuminating guest, and I really, really appreciate you and your warmth and your intelligence.
Well, thank you so much. You're such a delight.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. Next week, I have Dr. Susan Block, and we're going to talk about bonobos for a change of pace. All right, everybody. Tune in next week, and thank you for listening, and thank you again, Dr. Tammy. Bye-bye.